This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
It is Random Question, question 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Alex. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hey, guys, it's about time.
Time for what? The Random Question, question. You're just in time. How about that?
No, it's that I was trying to call in around 2 o'clock when your show starts, and for whatever reason, the call just kept dropping.
Have you had any familiarity with our phone system here? Do not be surprised.
Yes, I know, Thrill, it sucks.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm getting at there.
Okay. Well, we got your bitching.
That's right. All right, Alex, let's go with this one. What would you say was your favorite junk food that you cannot get anymore? A favorite food or junk food that was available at one point in time, but you can't get it anymore.
It's probably a Hostess thing that's not sold at the grocery stores here anymore. I think that's the Twinkie.
They're still making the Twinkie.
Yeah.
Which is
amazing.
Yeah, I think the Chocodile is a little bit better since I've tried the Twinkie within the last maybe 5-6 years.
Just don't do it. The nostalgia that you're looking for does not exist.
No.
As an adult, Twinkies are a different thing.
I liked a Ho-Ho growing up. They still make Ho-Hos. I mean, I think Hostess still has some products that I don't mind. It's just I thought that was like the top of the mountain back in the day as far as
a kid I did, but I think because my parents never bought pretzels and they never bought Twinkies, right? So we would get chips and we got like the Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. But then you go to your buddy's house and his mom would hook you up with the Twinkie and pretzels and I'm like, this is living. This is living. And I remember as a kid, man, the Shamrock Shake at McDonald's. I used to get so excited about that, and I don't know, 5-6 years ago, you know, they bring it back every St. Patty's Day. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get me one of these damn Shamrock Shakes. It was terrible, and right. I know nothing has changed. It's just one of those things where I think you've truly outgrown this thing.
Well, McDonald's,
because there's some stuff you remember, and you're just like, God, I loved that as a kid.
And McDonald's, then, right, Twinkie and a Shamrock Shake.
You know, they're done with bacon now at 10:30 in the morning. So they used to have a Michael Jordan burger, which was bacon and barbecue sauce with pickles and the kind of onions that you would find like on a quarter pounder. So to speak.
Okay, all right.
So you could get a bacon cheeseburger at McDonald's, which that's the only time that I can remember them. Like, you know, Wendy's, obviously they have the Baconator.
Sure.
Anytime you go to a restaurant, you know, for $1 more, $2 more, you can get bacon on your burger. It's like one of the second things, you know, down from cheese that they say, do you want this too?
Not McDonald's.
McDonald's doesn't do it. Wendy's does it.
Burger King has bacon double cheese. You're right though. McDonald's.
They've kind of gotten out of the bacon game.
Yeah, it's
almost like
breakfast.
They just said, you know what? Let Wendy's do. Anyone drink? Because sodas, to me, seem like the ones that come and go the most, right? So, what was it? Jolt? Remember that back in the day?
I do. Yep.
When I was a teenager, we just tried it because we're like, oh, it's kind of like Coca-Cola, but it had a lower price point and we're broke. We did not realize how much caffeine, like the name Jolt did not translate to us, like what you're actually doing. To me, it's like one of the original energy drinks. But someone here says, I was one of the few people that liked Pepsi Blue.
I don't remember that.
I remember, what was it, Clear Pepsi? Pepsi Clear?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't bad.
You know what, Miles? I guess we're wrong. Now they make a quarter pounder with cheese and bacon.
Do they? All right, I'm back. Cool. Awesome. What the
Bell Burgers from Taco Bell? Anyone remember this?
I do not.
Bell Burgers. I do not remember Taco Bell.
I know
Bell getting
Pizza Hut had a pizza called the Priazza that I used to love.
I remember that. Yeah.
Which was...
Oh, there's the Pepsi Blue. I would never buy that, but yeah, I recognize it.
All right, so we got some updates here on your the food that they're bringing back around and some new additions as well. I guess 5 years ago, Snickers launched a version of their candy bar called the Snickers Pecan Bar.
Ooh. Ooh.
And that was in September of 2019.
All right.
They had a, basically, they just asked all their customers which nut would they like to be seen featured next in their candy bar.
I think pecan is strong.
So they got to choose between cashews, pistachios, macadamia nuts, and pecans. And pecans took the top spot. I don't have a problem with a pecan, but I do love a macadamia nut. I do like pistachios, and I do like cashews. I think
I
all
don't
of
have
those
a problem, but
good.
In the Snickers bar, I do believe that pecan is probably the best fit.
Mm-hmm. The pecan bar was originally launched as an ode to Texas. That's where the Snickers bars were produced. The packaging even had different phrases like Texas Proud and Fixin' to Satisfy. But only a few lucky fans got an exclusive taste of the pecan candy. The bars were sold only online in 15 packs for $30. And the limited edition boxes were sold out completely by the end of the launch day.
I can believe that.
So no one actually got a chance to try these. But they are bringing them back. The candy will be on the shelves the third week in August. Well, hell, we're there. In Walmart and Dollar General. Jesus, man, I walked into a Dollar General store the other day. For the first time
at Dollar General.
I had to buy some Tide.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
what was that experience like?
I just didn't know they had all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's not just dollar store.
Okay, yeah. I had no idea. It was kind of like a mini grocery store. It's got a little bit of everything in it.
Sure.
But I was like, wow. And nothing costs a dollar, which makes no sense to me. In the meantime, Häagen-Dazs, they have released two new ice cream flavors. The brand is releasing a couple flavors in 14-ounce cartons. New York Strawberry Cheesecake. That honors the company founders, okay. Rose and Ruben Mattis, who immigrated from Poland to New York City, home of the world's most delicious cheesecake. I like cheesecake. Strawberries I don't really necessarily like on top of the cheesecake.
I feel like that's the classic, though.
It is.
Strawberry
it is the cheesecake. Classic. I mean, you don't need, here's my thing. I would just pick the strawberries off, and like that strawberry goo, that's still good. I just want the fruit.
Okay.
You know what? That's fair. I mean, as an adult, I eat the strawberries, but as a kid, you really just want whatever the stuff.
I want the juice. I don't want the berry.
Right, it's almost like a syrup.
Yeah.
Vanilla caramel pecan
Ooh.
Is another.
Ooh.
Beloved by those who get it in the shops under the name Pralines and Cream.
Oh, all right.
The flavor has now been reimagined for even more decadence. It has creamy vanilla ice cream paired with perfectly gooey caramel sauce and a caramelized toasted pecan mix.
Do we use the term gooey as a positive outside of the culinary world? You can say the cheese is gooey. You can say the chocolate is gooey. It's a good thing. Can you describe anything else as gooey and people see it as positive? Like, baby, you're so excited. I'm feeling gooey down there. Like, just
I don't know that you use gooey outside of food.
Well, because look, gooey and oozing are roughly the same thing. But no one's going to say our pizza oozes with cheese because you think something different.
How
but no one says,
cheese?
I'm feeling gooey down there. I'm going to the doctor. Right? You never
right,
say
like a like a molten lava cake doesn't have
it's not
oozing.
They'll say
fudge.
It's gooey.
You're right. It's got gooey fudge.
It's gooey fudge.
And I wouldn't say like, oh, I tore off the scab and now it's got gooey blood
it's
coming
gooey,
out.
Gooey, yeah. God.
What else? We got Trader Joe's is doing a s'mores ice cream.
Yes!
They're bringing that back.
Yeah, Mike's
yes!
happy. Do you ever just eat s'mores straight up? Like when,
well,
when,
sure, yeah,
when the season hits, quote unquote?
Yeah, we had some s'mores earlier this season for sure, but I will swear by that s'mores ice cream.
Do you only use chocolate or do you use the like the Reese's peanut butter cups?
I haven't done that yet. I've wanted to, but usually it's we don't do s'mores a whole lot throughout the summer.
Sure.
So we kind of stick with the tried and true, and I never think at the moment to get some Reese's to, you know, change it up a little bit. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Use
they
a crunch
say,
bar, too.
It's exactly what you expect. Graham cracker flavored ice cream with marshmallow and chocolate squirrels and added a pinch of sea salt.
Squirrels?
Swirls.
Oh.
Squirrels.
We put chocolate squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels.
Squirrel.
And these are the ones I like the most. But you always have to go
squirrels.
Someplace else to get them. Whenever, you know, people go out to a different country, they bring back the different types of candy bars. I know your buddy in England was cool enough to bring us some different kind of Kit Kat bars. That maybe they're making their way.
Oh, yeah. Ron lives over in Belfast. Right. He was in Germany for the Seahawks game.
Yeah.
So the chocolate's different. Right? Like
same with Japan. As far as the different flavors of different things. Canada has they have poutine chips.
Yeah, I mean,
they've got
all
ketchup.
Dressed up.
Yeah, ketchup
why do
chips.
We not do, I mean, look, as far as junk food goes, and I think we'll all agree in this room, like, no one's going to beat the U.S. when it comes to consuming junk food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, introduce any flavor you want. The ones we don't like, we won't buy. But, like, you hear about, and like you said, Japan specifically. Oh, we got 40 different flavors of blank. And you're like, man, bring it here. Yeah. We are your best customer base, man.
Well, I think with the chips, though, some of the flavors would seem so odd.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't eat them. Because a lot of those chips, like, it's harder to get, like, the Canadian stuff. But I know if you go to an Asian market, like, you could find all the crazy, weird flavors from Asia.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Right? Like the shrimp chips.
I was going to say prawn. Yep, that's the first one I thought of.
In England, potato chips are called crisps. And they're launching a new line of sandwich-inflavored chips. So a potato chip brand known as Walkers.
Not like the Lay's.
That's Lay's, yeah. Right? They've teamed up with the British icon Heinz to launch three new chip flavors.
Ooh, when I was in England before, they and look, ketchup is, in England, ketchup's not a huge thing, but they had their ketchup-flavored crisps,
mm-hmm.
and these people mouth these things down, and I did try it. It was bright red, and it was horrible, and I said, look, because they said, does it taste like ketchup? And I'm like, it does, and maybe it's just the American in me, but like, ketchup needs to be the consistency ketchup is. It cannot be a dry-ass chip. It was weird.
Apparently, people really like these things. They say that they are mind-blowingly good. The flavors are very good together, and they would level up people's lunches, is the way they're...
So they have, like, beans and toast chips, Chris?
They're not far off. The first one is roast chicken, and they're all sandwich-inspired. It's a roast chicken and Heinz mayo flavor.
I would try that.
So that must be a popular sandwich in England. Then there's... the sausage sandwich with Heinz ketchup.
I don't know, man. A sausage-flavored chip appeals to me, but I'm telling you, man, that ketchup-flavored mm-hmm. did not work for me.
And then finally, the cheese toastie with Heinz beans. So the breakfast beans, along with a cheese toastie-flavored potato chips.
I'll give that a try.
They're available as of right now. And retailers, the ones you've heard of, like Tesco over there, or Aldi, my favorite. I think if I was in England, I'd be a regular at Poundland. That would be my grocery store. I have like a Poundland, probably a credit card. I'd have a Poundland, you know, account that
sure, sure.
I use all the time.
I just go to Greg's for the sausage rolls.
That an actual place?
Yeah.
Just Greg's? Random. Is it a grocery store or they just specialize
like
in sausage rolls?
It's like a 7-Eleven.
Ah, okay.
It's just before I ever went over there, like, I would just follow all these like social media accounts from all these Arsenal fans.
All right.
And I didn't know all the terms. Basically, for years, I was just reading how drunk they were afterwards. It was like, gotta go to Greg's, get a sausage mm-hmm. roll. So I was like, gotta go to Greg's, get a sausage roll. And the English dude looked at me like, you know, it'd be like traveling to America and be like, you gotta go to 7-Eleven to get a hot dog. Like, nothing wrong, but there's right. other options. The guy's
that's
like,
why you came here, huh?
He's like, we can go to a restaurant. I'm like, you know me. Gotta hit Greg's. Greg's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Ooh.
Boo.
And moo. Justin, welcome to the Arana question. Let's go here. What would you say, however you got there, car, plane, train, whatever, what has been your worst travel experience?
The last time we were, I think, coming back from Mexico, there was a child screaming on the plane, and it was clear that the kid wasn't young enough that you couldn't say, hey, stop.
All right.
It was like 5 hours, and for the first 2 hours, they couldn't get the TVs to work, so you're just listening to it.
And the more you try not to, the more you do.
I almost got up and said something to the dad, but then we on the when we had landed, we were about to hop on another plane. I saw who it was, and the kid was clearly old enough. I mean, probably 8 years old in a stroller.
Oh, God. Are you kidding? Okay,
in a stroller.
Yeah, at eight.
And I just kept hearing the mom say, "Hey, you know," telling the other kids, "We got to look after her, help her out," and then. Clearly, the other kids were just antagonizing and making it worse, and the dad was such a wimp, I guess I can nicely say.
I know what you want to say, but yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, wimp, I like that.
Now, it's best you can tell, was there something wrong with the kid that the 8-year-old's in a stroller, or is he just that coddled?
You know, it seemed like she was pretty aware of what she was doing. I think. I mean, the dad couldn't make eye contact with anybody, and it's just, I think they just let it happen.
You would think that there would be like two seats that are kind of in like a phone booth type environment. Mm-hmm. He's back by the laboratory, you know, like one row where you open up a door. There's two seats in there. You still get to look out the window if you want. You still can watch a television in there or whatever. But if you do have a situation where either someone needs to be detained. Or
you
have,
these days, or I think
have,
more adults.
Or you have, you know, a situation where, you know, from a soundproof perspective, you could kind of help somebody out in that way, whether it's a screaming baby.
There's nothing you can do about a screaming baby.
We had a screaming baby on our flight. But he's right at eight.
At eight.
Like, even if the kid is crying uncontrollably about something they don't need, like, they could kind of be quiet. Like, if your kid's just screaming, that's just...
That would not fly. Mm-hmm. We had a screaming baby on our flight back from Delaware, and the flight was delayed an hour, but we're already on the plane. And this kid was screaming in the airport. Sitting in the back of the plane, and it's weird. As a parent and having been through that, it doesn't bug me now. I don't hear it because that kid, I know they're under distress, but they don't need me. So somehow, I kind of don't hear it, but the people around that kid look super irritated.
Reese, we asked, what's your worst travel experience? Here's a doozy. Former NFL offensive lineman, Goster Chehrelis, the 17th overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft, was arrested over the weekend after he was accused of peeing on a passenger while aboard an airplane. The incident occurred yesterday morning while the former player was on a Delta flight bound from Boston to Ireland. Cops say Chehrelis was unruly while on the plane. When officers arrived at Logan at around 2 a.m. because they had to turn the hell back around, they demanded he get off the plane after it landed. Keep in mind,
this is
an offensive NFL lineman. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Then he became irate and uncooperative. Police say the 40-year-old was hauled off the plane, arrested, and booked on charges of disorderly conduct and disturbing a flight crew. Did he just stand up and pee on somebody?
That's all. They don't give a lot of details. That's all I can guess.
Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, our boy VD was just beside himself at the missed opportunity there by whatever publication put that out, and not calling it an offensive trickle.
I just think it's funny, too. They're like, he was obviously drunk when he got on the plane. And this, like, is he just so big they didn't want to say nothing?
Yes.
Sounds like he just, like, blacked out and peed on a woman.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, he was the 17th overall pick. I'm assuming this is one of the bigger guys. If he's the 17th overall pick?
Offensive lineman, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big guy. He went to Boston College and played for Detroit, Indy, and Tampa Bay in his career. Over 9 seasons in the NFL. And he capped it off by peeing on some woman beside him.
Yeah!
More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Our guest is as good as mine. Cut out of the category, Smoking Weed and Seattle Grunge Bands. We'll play a little Your Guess Is As Good As Mine right after emails on our Random Question. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Richard. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola. Richard, welcome to the program. Yeah. All right. Hey, Richard, are you a parent?
I'm a step parent. How's that?
That works, man. That's a parent.
You're still in it.
You're a parent for sure. All right. What would you say is one of the keys to the way that you parent your kid or your kids?
That's a good one, man. It was funny, man, because when I came into the picture, the kid hated me. Absolutely. Threatened to kick my butt, everything. So I took a tip from old Dave Chappelle, man. I got him stoned.
How old is he?
Right now, he's almost 30 now, but he was, I think, 17 at the time.
Okay, all right. And did that kind of, well, you know, at that point in time, he's basically an adult. Did that bring some bonding to you guys?
Oh, hell yeah, man. We've been real close ever since.
Okay. You know, my rule is this. Like, my kids did not need to be disciplined, but right. The way I kind of drew it up was like, look, with my wife at the time, if you, and she was not the mother of their children, but if you
want to step in and help and be a friend and, you know, from a female perspective, give any advice or any of those things that you can, please do that. But if there's anything that needs to be addressed, even if you know and I don't, as long as you guys don't have some bond where you have like, you know, like, I won't say anything if you don't say anything, then let me take care of that. Now, fortunately, I never had to do that. You know, it was, I was never in a position to do that, but I did not want her to be the bad person. I wanted her to be more of an adult, a friend, and someone that, you know, my kids could look up to and still trust. So
Absolutely.
I didn't want her to be the one that, you know, was, you know, having to be nasty or whatever the deal is.
I mean, I just try to do the, my wife is generally the heavy because she's with the kids more than I am. I mean, frankly, so like during the summer, right? They're home with her all day. She has to deal with it. My general position, I try to do what my dad did, right? So he's like, we have a scale of 100%. Mm-hmm. And 98% of it, you can and you are fully expected to F up, right? Because your kid, your daddy, you don't know. But then there's 1% on this side, don't even think about it, 1% on this other side, where I will be the evil, evil person. Otherwise, the thing I always liked about my father, like, you could really screw up, and he'd pull you aside. And it's not that he was okay with it. You get a talking to, but he goes, look, if you don't do this thing again, it's water under the bridge. If you do this, because he would explain his position. And he'd always ask, do you understand? And before he could open your mouth, he'd always say, think about your answer. Because if you say you do, and you do this thing again, then you're just being disrespectful. And that's the dad you don't want to deal with. And it was very well. And I pushed it a couple times, and I found out he wasn't bluffing. Yeah. He was not messing around. So I tried to do the same thing with my kids. Like, look, man, this thing happened at school. You did this thing. You got caught doing blank. I get it, dude. It's stupid. You're a kid. You're supposed to. But now that you have been caught, and we're addressing this, I do not expect this to happen again. And so far, the kids are batting 100%.
Okay.
And my family, pretty much, if your last name was Smith, anyone could discipline you. Aunt, uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they were older, and you were being rude, or you weren't saying please or thank you, it didn't matter. We listened to them all.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did that in Delaware, man. It was last week, you know, 25 people, and there were 10, 11 cousins. And it's weird. My kids are, they're not docile, but they're very respectful. They're decent people, but it's like even when you have a sweet dog, but you take your dog to the dog park and it plays with other dogs, it's just
starts going crazy.
Right. So, I mean, and they're having a blast. They're all about the same age. So they're loud. They're crazy. Did not care. But on two separate occasions, I had to say something to a niece or nephew. And it is amazing how much more they listen to you than their own parents.
Yeah. Well, they've heard it from their parents before.
They've heard it from their parents.
But you, I mean, you're not their parent and you're telling them.
And it wasn't even a big thing. Just one dude, I just looked at him and said, stop. And I mean, like, you see all the air get sucked out of the room and it stared him down, man. But, like, problem solved. I don't have a lot to say about it. You just, I'm going to make this statement and then I expect you to follow suit.
I picked this story for a reason. You'll find out here in a second. They say parenting is not easy, especially in the age of the internet and social media. We all know that. So this is refreshing. There's a new study out that suggests the key to good parenting is, any guesses?
Don't have kids.
Dad jokes.
Yeah, there we go.
Humor, being playful and silly and laughing at crazy, stressful situations to break the ice. 72% of parents use humor as an effective parenting tool. Most parents say they use or plan to use humor in parenting their own children, mostly because there's more potential benefit than harm. They also show that, look, not everybody's naturally funny. 70% of parents, though, say they would be interested in a course on how to utilize humor in parenting.
A course? I mean, like, you've got to be quick-witted, man.
Yeah. Grown adults who say their parents used humor are far more likely to say they now have a good relationship with their folks and that they feel their parents did a great job of raising them. The research shows parental humor is the secret ingredient for fostering cognitive flexibility, relieving stress from situations that might be stressful, and promoting creative problem solving and resilience in both the parents and the children.
Yeah, there is something to that. My uncle told me that years ago. He worked for the Pentagon, and he was kind of a higher up. So he's like, my job is nothing but stress. But he just said, look, the one thing I figured out in life, when you're in these situations, he goes, humor is the best icebreaker, and it prevents things from getting out of hand.
Yep. They do say, as far as being funny, in some of the funnier ad campaigns in recent years, is the one that's trying to save you from becoming your parents. And let's face it, if we're all becoming our parents, whether we like to or not, it's probably going to happen. 27% of Americans say they're worried they have become their parents. The average person first realizes they act like their parents at about 30 years old, and then they looked at individual things, okay? Just individual things in situations where you have now become your parents. So
some of those commercials, by the way, are very funny. Some of them, though, I don't like the new campaign.
They hit home.
Well, I've always liked weather. I understand I'm in my 40s.
Ted, when the first time I saw that ad, all right, I thought of you, I thought of Miles, because you guys are both weather nerds, right?
And I'm like, yeah.
It's so true, though, where you're looking out the window like, eh, you got about a 40% chance of rain. You can tell by those clouds. And I'm like, right, this is the conversation we have at work.
Saturday, I had to go to the grocery store for something. Specifically bought a new candle. So I was like, yeah, power might go out. And then I texted two different friends. One friend, I said, hey, man, you should get some candles. Your power might go out. And then my other friend, I just knew he's just not a weather nerd. And I knew him and his family. They live up north. I said, hey, I don't know if you need to get your generator ready. It's going to be a massive storm.
Right? You really did send that up?
Yeah.
Do you own a flashlight?
Yep.
Okay, you do. All right.
Cool. Oh, we got several in strategic locations through the house. So if the power goes out, you know, there's one within 15 feet of you.
Mm-hmm. Just to know my only problem is, you know what? I should take that back. I have multiple headlamps and then a tack light on my weapon. Okay. But I don't know that I own an actual flashlight.
Really?
I either have to put something on my head or walk around the house.
That works. I mean, either way, that works.
No, it works fine with the headlamps.
Right. You know what? The secret sauce, man. So to me, the flashlights are to find the other lights, right? We got the flashlight, turned it on. But then we have those, I don't know, it's the kind of like the adhesive bag that you stick in your kitchen or something under the cabinets. Those things are awesome. Just kind of tap them.
Yeah.
And they're like a little spotlight.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
We got like 18 of those around the house. So the last time the power went out, you know, the sunset got a little darker.
And they're just battery.
Flat. They're just battery, man. And I know where the batteries are, too. We hit a bunch of those things. Room was lit up. Everybody's good.
Nice.
But that's when you realize you become a parent. Because I'm so proud of myself. Like, yeah, look at that baby. You got the whole house lit up.
My stepfather, I can never. Where are the goddamn scissors? I'd used them like a month ago. Right. They were in my little desk drawer in my room, and I'm just sitting up there like, oh, man, I gotta hear boom, 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 boom. I hand them over.
Right.
And, you know, he goes and uses them, and hey, look, man, and this was his thing. Just put them back where they belong.
Put them back where you got them.
I need to find them. I can use them and know where they are. That's all I'm asking. So that's definitely one I picked up from growing up.
I will say scissors are one of those things where, like, I'm not super strict, but, like, my keys always get the same spot, whatever. But I do have a drawer that, like, you're right. If I opened it today, I'd be like, who in the hell took the scissors?
Yeah, I do have certain things. My problem with the scissors in my home is if I grab a pair of scissors, and it's not like I cut many things. So maybe once every 3 months do I actually need a pair of scissors. And somehow my wife doesn't even have to be in the room. I'm like, don't use those scissors. I'm like, but the scissors. I don't know if you guys knew this. Miles, you know you're bad with figuring out flowers because they all mean something that guys don't know. Well, apparently every kind of scissor is designed to cut a different type of material. In my mind, scissors cut paper, and it's beginning and end. There's no more discussion.
Meat scissors in your kitchen?
Yeah.
Like, cooking
but
shears.
In the pinch, I would use them. But my wife, because she does all this reupholstery stuff.
Oh, you don't want to mess with that.
Okay, listen. I did not understand this, okay? So the 400 pairs of scissors she has, when I need one, she's like, why are you cutting paper with the scissors?
Do you remember?
Because it's paper.
Do you remember
and
the...
She's like, those are for this guy. And then...
Because scissors beats paper,
well,
Dad.
Well, no. Then I'm cutting a piece of material, but she got me wise to her material scissors. So I grabbed the material scissors. I'm proud of myself. And she's like, why are you cutting that type of material with the scissors? Because you said they're material scissors. She's like, no, but they're for like this type of material. That's for cotton and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
You would think...
So there's 40 scissors. I go, what pair of scissors can I use? What are you going to cut? A piece of freaking paper.
I was just doing some art. I don't know how old I was, maybe 10 years old, somewhere in there. I had, you know, the colored contact paper. And
Just
gluing crap together and just doing that stupid stuff for an art project I had. Well, she had zigzag scissors.
Oh, dude, don't.
For her sewing and for her cloth and for her, I guess, if you make clothes, I don't know why you need zigzag scissors. I'm not
but
exactly
But you do,
sure.
Miles.
But I was at the kitchen table, man, and I was using... If I would have pushed a 92-year-old woman in a wheelchair down a flight of steps, she'd have been less pissed off than me using those scissors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you think that I was Satan's spawn?
I just... Look, here's the
spawn.
Thing. And again, and I mean this. Like, if you are one of these types that holds these pairs of scissors, and it does seem to be people that work with clothing or material,
yeah,
can you label them, or hide them, or just get a normal pair of scissors that says normal pair of scissors.
Right.
That's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know,
you know
that
what?
They make this.
Go get your own pair of scissors, man. That is the only solution here.
I guarantee she'd be like, why did you buy those scissors? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand them.
I don't either. Other sir, so back to the. How are you becoming your parents? So they took one couple of different subjects: travel habits.
All right.
How did you become your parents on the travel habits? And here are a few of them: getting to the airport incredibly early for no apparent reason.
No, I hate that. My wife.
I'm a little guilty of that.
I'm not. My wife always. I understand you prepare for the worst case scenario, but I'm like, babe. Say the flight takes off at 7:30. I don't think we need to be there at 4:30. And I know you're saying just in case, but where I do take after my parents, my father specifically, things cost a lot more in the airport. So if I'm stuck there for 3 hours, I'm spending three times as much money.
Wanting to find the gate before doing anything else.
Yes.
Once you gotta do that. I do that every time.
And then do you walk back to find the bar?
Yeah.
So as I'm walking to the gate, I'm looking around, right? Like,
you're scoping.
Right, you might see a restaurant that you like or something, but you got to figure out how close is it to my gate or whatever. And I don't know why. The gate's not going to, like, not be there.
No.
I have to go put eyes on her, then make a call on where I'm going to get a beverage and some food.
Okay, you need to travel with my wife then, because she pulled this crap at the Philly airport. I want to stop at Chickie Pete's, because I know Chickie Pete's has, like, good wings, good pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Where I always stop at that airport.
You. Okay, no, well, guess what? Our gate, even though we were in gate C, but we were, like, C9, so... She goes, all right, well, let's go down to C9. I'm like, I can see it. It's where it says 9. We're in the. So we walked down, and now Cheeky Pete's is now in my rear view, okay? But we have the kids with us, too, which plays into this. If kids aren't there, go to any bar. I don't care. But it turns out there's this other tap house, they want to call it, closer to our actual gate, all right? So we end up going there. Now, at the same time, a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, who happens to be from Philadelphia, texts me about our beer. So I said, by the way, I'm in your hometown, and he goes, dude, if you're in the Seagate, because he flies out there too.
Yep.
If you're in the Seagate because you're flying to Alaska, go to Chickie Pete's because they have this crappy tap house. I said, I've already ordered.
I'm telling you, right, because I fly a lot, Scott. I know exactly where you are.
Uh-huh.
You can't be, it's right down that hallway.
That's what I'm saying. We were closer to that.
And it's probably arguably some of the best, like, chicken wings, the kind of I've ever had.
No, I was pushing for Chickie Pete's, but we were closer to the tap house.
And then you're saying this is in SeaTac.
No, this was Philly.
Oh,
this
flying back. I'm just saying, if you've ever taken the Alaska flight, because generally...
Go to Chickie Pete's.
Like, the Philly flights, like BWI, they're always at the same gate, same times, right? Just, so, like, a BWI, you could stop at a Green Turtle. It's not that far from that gate.
It's like the long hallway walk from hell when you're leaving Vegas if you're flying Alaska. It's like the walk of shame.
God. Yeah.
It's the very last gate. You're just walking down there feeling like your head's going to pop off, like... Should I get a burger from Burger King?
I'm still not hung my nose. Yeah.
I will
burning.
Say, though, it's dope that Alaska's in that terminal. Because the other terminal there has international... gets so busy. Yeah.
And not only that, but there's a little smoking gambling area down there, too. So that's key as well.
But it's a forever walk to a doggone Dunkin' Donuts. I'm sorry, that's all I ever get in airports.
I will say, I've been at that gate on a Monday morning after the F1 race. And obviously, it's all people going back to Seattle, right?
Sure.
There's this dude, him and his wife are sitting next to me, and like, I know he's hungover, but I'm not feeling great. He says something to his wife, and this other guy comes over on a layover, like a stopgap, who obviously knows the wife, and the wife like elbows him, and he's like, what? And then like that couple comes over, and he's like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, how you doing? He's like, I feel like death warmed over, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hurting. Other ways you're like your parents, as far as travel habits are concerned, going to the bathroom before the flight will board. Very important to do that.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Which is something
none of my kids had to pee. Do you guys have to go to the bathroom? No.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Go check.
Yeah.
We don't have to go, Dad. So I said, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Then both kids go to the bathroom.
My wife and my mother-in-law cannot take a flight without getting that last call, just calling them out real quick, you know, say, hey, we're about to close the frickin' door, and then they make their way out of the doggone bathroom.
Yep. And the final one on this one, as far as your travel habits, that you're, one person says, I'm like my dad. I make airport friends at the bar. I'm always asking people where they're flying to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, how long you stay in, where you're originally from. The next thing you know, half hour goes by. It's like you've been lifelong friends with any airport bar, anywhere you are.
Sure.
You will generally start a conversation with a complete stranger. And half the time, you would never do that anywhere else.
No.
I mean, I feel like generally if you sit at a bar, you're already kind of open to some conversation.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But airport bars especially. Because you notice the people that always sit at tables with their laptop. Like, they're like, I don't want to talk.
I don't want to be on.
Yeah. And people have courtesy most of the time. Hey, should I move my bag over for you? Or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You already start the conversation before you even sit down on the stool. So, I mean, most of the time, I've never been to an airport bar and not talked to the person beside me.
No.
Ever. And half the time, they're the ones starting the conversation with me, because that's weird, because it's Seattle. They're not from here. They're flying out, you see.
Yeah.
So, but either way. Yeah.
You ever had a... Random.
I've had it happen to me, and then I did it to somebody.
What's that?
Like, you're in an airport bar doing the standard conversation, and they have something terrible going on in their life, and you're like, oh, no. Yeah.
Sorry I asked.
I'm here for a funeral.
Yeah, and then... When I did it to the other guy, I felt bad because he felt so bad. But I was just like, all right, it happens.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no way to know, right? It's 7 a.m. on a weekday, and he just went, good to have a drinking partner. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I can only have one. He's like, why? And I'm like, something's going blah, blah, blah. The file, he's like, what is it, man?
Oh, dude.
I'm going to my dad's funeral. He's like, Jesus, I'm sorry. He just was ready to chat, like, get hammered. I'm like, God, any other...
Right.
Hey, yeah. I'm your
guy. Ted, it happened to me with my grandfather. My grandfather passed away. There was a delay in Charlotte, and I could not get on the plane. I'm flying there to go. It was the viewing was that afternoon.
Right.
The actual funeral was the next day. But I'm in the bar, and they kept canceling the flight. I'm like, and I'm wearing a dress shirt. Too.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of dressed to just get down there and get off the plane and go to the, you know, where the family's eating. And it's kind of more of a loose casual, you know, just, you know, talking about your life and everything else. And they keep canceling on me. I'm sitting at the bar. It's the NASCAR bar. If you've ever been to the Charlotte airport where they have like the hubs that look like, the bar stools and everything. And I'm sitting there and this guy's like, hey, man, where are you going? I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm never getting where I'm going to go. He's like, where are you going? I'm going, Williamson, West Virginia. He's like, why are you going there? I'm like, my grandfather's wake thing just started right now. Because I'd been in there for three or 4 hours. It was only like an hour flight. I mean, I kept getting delayed. And he's like, it's right now. I'm like, well, the funeral's tomorrow, but like all the other family and friends
are
coming tonight. He's like, it starts right now. I'm like, right now. And then like, I was just like, oh, no. Just keep pounding shots.
That's the way to go.
That's not all I could do.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Victorias.
Hola.
Rick, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this last one for you. If you go to an amusement park, what is your go-to ride that you have to get on? If there's a universal ride, which one do you always get on, even if it's not the most exciting? I'll give you a perfect example. I am a big fan of the Logjammer, which is not the fastest roller coaster at any amusement park, nor is it a roller coaster. But the idea of getting in a wooden boat and floating and then one splash at the end, for some reason, I need to ride that thing every time. So what is your favorite amusement park ride?
There's only one ride that if I see it, I have to go on it, and it's called the Zipper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's my favorite. I love that. Spinning around.
Is that the one that flies? Is that the one that kind of goes up and down? Oh, that thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
You're basically in a freaking cage on a roller on a like a straight up and down Ferris wheel that goes freaking
circles and spinning everywhere.
Yeah. No. I like the pirate ship.
I'm with you, Rick.
I will ride the pirate ship, not the ones that flip all the way over, but the ones that get you just high enough where you're looking down.
I stay in the middle on those.
I think it's worse when they don't flip over. Because at least when it flips over, to me, just the centrifugal force of it, like, when it goes to the very top, when I'm racing back down, I understand what's going on. When that thing just hangs, and I'm just kind of hanging there, that's not a feeling I like.
I like the turtle, or tilt-a-world.
Oh, the tilt-a-world?
Yeah, because, you know, you spin the thing, you can spin real fast.
Oh, I love those
things. What's the ones where you feel like there's no gravity because you're spinning in
Oh, the, I don't know what you're talking, stuck to the wall kind of thing?
Is it Gravitron?
Gravitron.
Gravitron.
I mean, I don't know. I don't go as many rides as an adult at fairs and stuff as I used to. Like, if I go to an amusement park, let's go on everything.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know how in the hell this happened. A Ferris wheel caught fire in Germany at a music festival on Saturday night. Injured more than 20 people. It was the Ferris wheel was on fire.
Right.
Fire. It's not clear what caused the fire at the Highfield Festival near the city of, ooh, boy, you're a dirty German. What is that?
Leipzig. Sure.
But images of the scene show two of the ride's gondolas and the carriages They were on fire. They were ablaze.
Right. And there's people in it.
Yeah, the fire reportedly started in one of them, then spread to the other. Four people were burned. One person was injured because they jumped. Another 18 people, including first responders, were treated for smoke inhalation. Some outlets have a total of injured more than 30. And the incident is under investigation.
Is that the worst ride to be on if it's on fire?
You can't. I mean, hell, it's the worst ride to get on if you want to get off. Because every one of those things has to stop.
There's no quick way to get out of that thing.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Even on a regular Ferris wheel, I'm like, when are we going to get to the bottom of this thing? All right, let's see. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, our category, smoking weed and Seattle grunge bands. And we got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.